Hello, welcome to episode 50 of Green Takes. Of course, I'm joined by Brian and Lewis, and we have our special guest, John Escobar, joining us again. Thank you guys for joining me. As we get into our Royal Rumble recap, CM Punk's injury, and of course, with big news over the weekend last week, Vince McMahon's exit from WWE officially. He's not coming back. This is pretty much set in stone. He's pretty much done. Without further ado, let's get into our Royal Rumble recap. A lot of fanfare during the Royal Rumble. Me, Brian, and Lewis watched it out at Lewis's place and had a great time watching the Royal Rumble, watching the entrance, watching the show, the spectacle, and, of course, the Royal Rumble being one of the biggest, one of the big four, right? But one of the biggest events, of course, starting up for WrestleMania season. The Royal Rumble, of course, brought us back-to-back winner, Cody Rhodes, winning the Royal Rumble.
And congratulations. You won your first pick. Your prediction.
It took him an entire year.
My ass kicked in our picks for a full entire year. It finally happened. So, of course, Cody Rhodes coming out. I was watching it at Lewis's house. With Brian, and we were having a discussion. We were like, when's Cody going to come out? Because that was the big discussion going into it. It's like, if he's going to win it, I said if he has to win it, he was going to have to be 1-5. Mm-hmm. And then 1-5 came out. He didn't come out. And I was like, the latest he can come out is 15. Anything over 15, it's not going to be as miraculous. It's not going to be the same thing. And right there at 15, Cody Rhodes comes out. And I'm like, we're in the game. We got him.
You know, as much as Daniel and Brian used to say last year that, oh, I must have an inside person, you know, because I kept getting so many predictions. Yes. For some reason, Dan's Rumble predictions were very spot on. Don't you think, Daniel?
I don't know.
Not the women's Rumble.
Hey.
Not the women's Rumble. Nope.
We'll be talking about that, but I was close. But what do you guys think about overall the Royal Rumble in itself, the entrance, Cody Rhodes winning, CM Punk returning? What are you guys' thoughts on the men's Royal Rumble?
I guess I'll take it first. I just want overall as a Rumble, I do feel like the men's Royal Rumble was the lesser of the two Royal Rumbles. I thought the women's one was the better one. Like Daniel said, if Cody Rhodes was to win, like we've been saying all year, if Cody was to win, we would have wanted the Rumble victory to be more special than last year's was. Last year, he comes out number 30, coming off of injury, ends up eliminating Gunther, goes to WrestleMania. So we're thinking, if he's gonna go back to back, he has to top that moment, and they literally cut his entrance in half. He came out at 15.
Not impressive.
He made it to the end. He had an impressive showing. I mean, I don't recall anything in particular that he did in that Rumble that stood out. I do remember him eliminating Gunther kind of similarly to how he eliminated him last year, and getting to the going back to the Final Four. As I stated last year when we did last year's Rumble show, I always gauge Royal Rumbles based upon who the Final Four is, because when you look at the Final Four, you can get a good idea of who factors into WrestleMania this year, or you sometimes take a look at it and see who's getting booked stronger than others. And the Final Four this year were the two favorites in Cody and Punk, with Gunther and Drew McIntyre. So That was a very good, very good Final Four. You could easily have seen any one of them winning and going to WrestleMania, but to see finally have Cody win back to back, and how they pretty much made it very clear. Well, that on Saturday night they made it clear he was going for Roman, and then we got what we got on Monday Night Raw with Seth Rollins' promo. But for Cody to win back to back, it's definitely an impressive feat. Now he's going to WrestleMania now. I think we can all agree that it's mandatory that he quote unquote finishes the story at this point, because you can't, I don't think you can have the fans go through another year of him not winning the title or saving it for SummerSlam. If he's going to be in that main event spot now, I feel that, you know, winning the title pretty much is mandatory. But the men's Royal Rumble in general, I feel like the one mishap that they had, and this was actually for both Rumbles, kind of fucked up the number 30 spot.
Yeah, I agree.
For the men's, it should have been The Rock, right?
That was a big miss, Brian.
I was going to get to that. I was going to say, it's kind of funny, everybody's pick made it to the final four, and my pick wasn't even in the fucking match. So I can admit that. I can admit when I'm wrong. I fell for the whole okie doke when Rock came out and made
it. We were sitting there saying, The Rock should be number 30.
Yeah, we were saying Rock should be 30, even though Lewis was vehemently against it, saying, no, Rock. But we thought Rock was going to be number 30, and I just felt that for it to be Sami Zayn was such a drop off. I get it. Sami Zayn had arguably his best year as a character and everything. But no disrespect to Sami Zayn, people weren't expecting that. When number 30 comes out, number 30 needs to be somebody significant, somebody who's a game changer, somebody who you will believe is going to come out on top. You didn't feel that way with Sami Zayn. We'll talk about the Women's Royal Rumble. I'll really get into that. I feel like that was the only misstep. Some of the good highlights from it. I love the Bron Breakker. They finally unleashed Bron Breakker. The reports are saying that apparently he was the Brock Lesnar replacement. Which he had a dominant showing. Me personally, I didn't like the fact that Omos was in it. I felt like that was a waste of time. like I said on Saturday, we don't need Omos. We have Obafemi. Okay.
Show some respect.
There was no respect.
The main attraction, all right.
And you're talking about Omos being a giant. One person took him out. That was Bron Breakker. I remember years prior, it took like six or seven guys to get him out, and Bron Breakker did that by himself. So that counts for something. But overall, Men's Royal Rumble was very good. We're seeing Cody go to the main event. Like I said, men win the title. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, pretty much my thoughts on the Royal Rumble. I hated it. So, reality.
Last 2 minutes.
Technical issues here. in terms of the Royal Rumble and stuff like that.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
All right. So with the Royal Rumble, my thing, I just didn't like that there was no like big surprises in the men's Royal Rumble. Of course, the women's Royal Rumble was great. I couldn't complain about that one. The men's Royal Rumble was too generic. I felt like it was too like predictable, and it didn't make me feel like I wanted to like see somebody win in particular, which I did. But, you know, I didn't really feel it. Even when Punk came out, honestly, even when Punk came out 27 or 28, I don't remember. But, yeah, and I just felt, like, disheartened. Like, I don't know. I just didn't like it. It wasn't as action-packed as usually the other Rumbles were. Like, the Women's Rumble was action-packed. It was perfect. I think that set the tone. And then when we got to the men's rumble, it just like disappointed me because of the fact that, you know, it was just like flat. And to point on Brian's case, the Bron Breakker, that was a great, great position for Bron. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the report saying that it was supposed to be Brock Lesnar. I honestly, as much as, you know, with the reports and everything like that, it would have been great to see Brock Lesnar in the rumble. And just to see him face off like with Gunther one more time, just to like build up more hype, So, you know, unfortunately with the Rumble, you need more star power, and that it didn't have as much star power that we thought it needed. I know Brian was a big proponent in getting The Rock into the Rumble. Lewis wasn't. I wasn't either. But it would have been great if he was in the Rumble, because I know Lewis is like, you know, he's like me in the sense.
Down the street. He should have been in the Rumble. He could have made a 5-10 minute appearance. He lives right down the street from Tampa, Florida.
I know.
What else but are you doing?
How old is The Rock now?
Yeah, but he should have been. He shouldn't have been.
And just it would have added to the Rumble for sure. And I think in the mainstream of moments, like we got the moments with Jay and Jimmy Uso. Like that was cool that they were 1 and 2.
Yes.
We got Braun Breaker on the Rumble. That was a good youth injection into the Rumble, right? And outside of Cody and CM Punk being the last two, we were sitting there like, this is kind of dragging on in the last moments. Like, it kind of dragged on for a little bit. Like, okay, who's going to be eliminated? We understand that they're trying to build up the thought process behind the two. Like, who's going to win it even? But it's like, it kind of dragged on a little bit. And it just didn't feel like there was enough fire behind that moment to captivate Cody over. And I feel like that was the feeling around everyone deciding it. And I think that
CM Punk should have won. It's just that
simple. Hey.
After what we learned, I mean, good thing he didn't win.
He didn't. Yeah, no, yeah. It's true. And I think that's another thing that they changed it. I don't think Cody was the favorite to win going into the Rumble. I think once the ref learned that his tricep, he said tricep, then they Triple H changed the finish in the back. He probably said, Cody, go over.
Cody Rhodes was going to win the Royal Rumble.
No, he wasn't. No, stop it. You got lucky.
I will say this, and only because the more they kept saying it, probably heard it like 5 times before the men's Rumble. Can Cody Rhodes be the first man to win the Rumble back to back?
They kept mentioning it
over and over. And the more I kept hearing it, I'm like, man, you know what? I think they're going to do it. Because leading up to this, we did not hear. We probably heard it that Monday Night Raw before the Rumble.
The only person that mentioned the back to back was me for weeks.
No, it was Michael Cole. Really? It was Michael Cole.
You guys did not want
just like Stone Cold. Could he win the Rumble? Did not want 2 years
to win back to back. You did not want to win back to back. And I said,
yeah, because look at the record. 26 years. Why would it change now?
Because it's the right decision.
Cody is that multi-dimensional talent now where it's acceptable if somebody was to break it, it's Cody. Okay, the top babyface on the Raw,
which I'm fine with, but it's exactly. Like good. But this is what I'm saying. Going back to just how things went last year, it's like how do you go through that same process again? You know,
if he was 1 through 5. It probably would have been better.
The fact that you know, you're right.
No, like, it would have been worse.
I was like, the latest since I was 15, and that kind of dampened it. If he was 1 through 5 early on in the Rumble, it probably would have added to it. But the fact that he came out at 15, I'm like, that's the latest he can come back to salvage this. But it was
Who I was actually, and I think I was rooting for a little bit, was actually Jay, because he started early on. And he actually had a good amount of time. And I think what John was saying, it's like, yeah, this Rumble, like, there wasn't enough surprises. There weren't a lot of high spots, kind of like last year where you had, like, the Logan Ricochet spot.
Yeah, you know.
You didn't see, like, big clashes with, like, let's say, like, Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker or, like, whatever, you know, like, Omos and whoever, like, it was just like it was missing a little extra salt and pepper to like give it some
like
more.
That oomph.
Exactly. Yeah.
Andrade and, did return. That was a bright spot.
Yeah, Andrade was a good return.
Yeah, which I feel like we didn't even get a lot of highlights from that.
No, you know, like, just got a little interaction with the LWO, but it wasn't Santos Escobar mainly.
Yeah.
But he really didn't have a strong showing. He had no eliminations. There wasn't enough eliminations. They didn't have that powerhouse that came in. Braun Breaker came in with a little oomph.
There was a giant or someone with such tremendous feats of strength that could have maybe had a lot of eliminations and didn't.
Yeah,
well, Brock Lesnar. Why wasn't there somebody in the Rumble doing that? Yeah, type, you know, we've had guys like Kane, Big Show.
Let's be reasonable here. It was a low elimination Rumble.
Is that man not taller than almost all of them?
Cody Rhodes only had four eliminations. Dominic.
Oh, now you want to throw Cody in there?
Braun Breaker has four eliminations, and Gunther has.
How many Omos have? One.
Almost zero. He had one. Okay, so
I mean,
he got blindsided by Braun Breaker. Okay,
Wow,
stuff happens.
You're covering your.
Blindsided by Braun Breaker. Yeah, Daniel, I went to Raw Live last year on the build to WrestleMania. I saw live this guy Omos pie face the shit out of Brock Lesnar and knock him out of the ring. So you mean to tell me?
He couldn't have gone to two people and be like, bye.
It wasn't Omos' story at the Rumble. It was Cody Rhodes' story, okay? The focus, all right?
How great would it have been to see Omos and Cody in the final, you know?
Oh, my God, no.
David and Goliath's story.
Hey, there's always next year.
CM Punk is next year. 100%. 100%.
Is he?
Yeah. 100%.
I'm out. Other guys from NXT, Carmelo Hayes came in from NXT. I thought it was weird that there were only seven participants from SmackDown in the Royal Rumble.
I didn't even think about that.
So what was the number breakdown? It was seven from SmackDown. How many from NXT and how many from
two Raw? From NXT, 1, 2, 3, Omos, Pat McAfee, and Andrade were free agents. Andrade just signed with Raw. That, seven.
Pat McAfee. That definitely was a wasted spot.
Yeah.
Did you hear Pat? He said something about that. He wasn't supposed to be in it.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't know he was going to be in it. Yeah.
It could have been.
He didn't know.
It was a joke.
So he's climbing the walls and stuff. That's literally just him supervising stuff.
And I think it had to do more with the Brock Lesnar thing because everybody was. I feel like it could have been, you know, when Braun Breaker came in. I think when the pack going 22. So I think. Oh yeah, Brock was in. His flight was canceled. I read that report. But that whole thing was weird, man. I don't know. Like he tried to be more like of Drew Carey, like a Drew Carey character. Remember when Drew Carey went to the Rumble?
Yeah, I watched that Rumble back beforehand. Yeah.
And he threw himself out. Yeah. He said no. He didn't want no part of Kane.
I read reports that I guess he was supposed to do something like that similar, but with Brock being in the ring. So yes. It was like he came face to face with Brock, and he's like, "Yeah, this man's a monster. I'm not gonna like even try and like attack him and go after him. I'm gonna just take myself out." It's crazy. It's how all these things played out in the Rumble, and honestly, I think. If this stuff hadn't happened, Brock being in the Rumble probably would have given the men's like a little bit of extra
life.
Yeah, because it would have been a crazy matchup. We could have had the Gunther spot, which everybody's been talking about forever.
And we could have had Brock and Brock in the Royal Rumble, and it would have been crazy. That's what it should have been.
It probably would have.
It would have been that set of... That would have set it off. Like
they could have recreated that. Here come the pain, Brock and Brock going at it again. You know,
2002 all over again.
My favorite time period. You know.
See, but here's my thing. And going back to the whole number 30 spot, Punk. We said Punk came out at 27. Mm-hmm. Why not just have him come out at 30 and just swap him and Sami Zayn? That would have meant more because it's like, okay, he's one of the favorites. Cody came in at 30 last year, so he might do it. So it makes booking sense to me. So I don't understand why they thought Sami Zayn being number 30.
You know who should have came out at 30? Trick Williams. I was waiting for Trick Williams.
No. That would have been
bad. I was waiting for Trick Williams. I just wanted to hear that. Brian was talking about it for the longest time. I'm like, yo, if we get to hear that intro at the Rumble.
It would have been great, but not at 30.
Yeah, give me like 25, 27.
Around 25, 20. He should have been in the
Rumble.
He should have had Ricochet.
Ain't nobody was happy with Ricochet in the Rumble. Everybody was like, why?
No, hell no. Nobody cared about the wife, man.
Because you look at Ricochet kind of similar to Rey Mysterio in the sense of like he's acrobatic. He's acrobatic as hell. He does these impressive feats. So when you see him, it's all love. It's all positive because you know what you're going to get. But that was the one time when you saw him and you was just like, why are you here? Like, not this spot. Like we're expecting bigger names now, not you.
He's someone who definitely needs a character change. If anything, give him King Puma or something, because this Ricochet's character is just not like he's a high flyer and great, but his character needs a little something.
I was trying to see who had the most 30. Who has had the most number 30 entrance in the Royal Rumble? Like, because back in the day, even on the video game, it used to be X-Pac. If you played WrestleMania 2000 back in the day,
yeah,
it was Xbox.
Yeah, the 2000 Rumble.
I was just trying to see if there was any correlation, but there isn't. But the Men's Royal Rumble was a little underwhelming just because of we were looking for those moments, right? We were expecting Brock Lesnar, we didn't get Brock Lesnar. Some of us were expecting The Rock, we didn't get The Rock. We didn't get those big Titan moments in the Royal Rumble that we usually got, even though we got Bronson Reed was in there, right?
He was in there.
So we had some big guys that were in there that should have got it, been in there. And had more impact, but it just felt a little underwhelming. I got the result that I wanted because it's the most traditional route to get the WWE Championship. But it is what it is. The Royal Rumble is in the books. Let's move forward to the women's Royal Rumble. Bayley punching her ticket to WrestleMania.
We both had that one, Lewis.
Yes, sir. Good thing I changed my pick.
Yeah. All three of us had that. Well, first of all, go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead.
For 2 months, I picked Bayley to win the Royal Rumble. For two months, mm-hmm. I had her win the Royal Rumble, and at the last minute, I changed. Couldn't be more happier that Bayley won. We got some nice returns, some impact moments. We got the debut of Jade Cargill, which was awesome. But what do you guys think about the Women's Royal Rumble overall? We got some TNA people in there, got some returns. How do you guys feel?
Okay, so first of all, from a personal experience, watching this with the two of you, Daniel and Lewis. Me channeling my inner Bobby the Brain Heenan with Bayley since she came out at 3, the whole entire match I literally was just watching Bayley telling her roll under the rope, stay in the corner, like
the camera would be somewhere else and Brian would be like, where's Bayley?
Why is she fretting right now? Why isn't she just laying down?
stay down, like because I'm just thinking like she comes out number 3, similar. Ric Flair in 92, and she was the favorite to get to the end, but this Women's Royal Rumble was definitely the Rumble of the night. Jordynne Grace, the Knockouts TNA Knockouts champion, her impact. I mean, they're still talking about that today for her being in the Rumble. Definitely, I was actually the first time I'd seen her as a talent. I've seen a lot of highlights. You know, I follow her on Instagram when she does her workouts and stuff. But actually, see her in the ring to see how legit she is. You know, Jordynne Grace. I mean, if her time is ever up in TNA and she ever were to come to WWE, I mean, that would be a huge get.
Just walk through the door.
another thing of note, obviously Daniel mentioned it, the debut of Jade Cargill. We had talked about last week about how, I think I had predicted that like if Jade was going to be in this, that she, that you know, she was going to make an impact to the point where she was going to, you know, break the record for the most eliminations and so forth, that she had to make an impact. Didn't break the record, but she definitely did make the impact, taking out Nia Jax by herself, taking out Naomi, who at the time was the person that was in the ring for the longest amount of time, and Becky Lynch, who was the biggest star in the ring at the time, all in one fell swoop. So, and then she was in the final three. So, I definitely think that they definitely took care of Jade, and Jade is gonna have an impact moving forward. Back to the number 30 spot again. Well, I don't understand this at all. I mean, Jade came out at 28. Liv fucking Morgan came out at number 30, and I don't understand why. And I was saying this on Saturday night. I'm getting to the point with Liv Morgan the same way I felt about Kevin Patrick as the commentator on SmackDown, where I literally would ask every single week, like, what do they see in Kevin Patrick? Because I don't see it at all. Because as a commentator, he's not that good. And lo and behold, Kevin Patrick got released last week. But that doesn't mean he needed to lose his job. That just meant he wasn't a good play-by-play commentator. Mm-hmm. But now I'm looking at Liv Morgan in the exact same way, because I'm just thinking, okay, she's a pretty face. We look at her as an underdog. I mean, her in-ring skills aren't bad. They're average at best. But her promo skills, to me, you know, she still sounds like a robot every time she talks. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I really don't. And you saw how she was booked as the SmackDown Women's Champion with that whole feud with Ronda Rousey. How horrible that was, to the point as a babyface champion where she was booed. And you know, now she's injury prone because she got hurt. Was back for like a couple of weeks, then got hurt again, and now she's back at number 30. And I'm just trying to understand. You had Jade at 28. Why would you not? Same thing with Sami Zayn and CM Punk. Why would you not have Jade come at number 30? You could have Jade come at number 30, make the exact same impact that she made at the 30 spot, and it would have been okay. That's the only gripe that I take from the Women's Royal Rumble, was the fact that Liv Morgan was at 30. And another thing that I loved about it, and I think it was something that I had mentioned last week. Before, when the Women's Royal Rumble first started, you know, you had a lot of special appearances by some of these women from the past. You know, you had your Molly Holly, your Lita, your Trish, your Wilson, and in the very beginning, that filled up like 12 spots. And I think in this Rumble, I don't think they had any special appearances.
No, they didn't have
them. It was all people from the main roster, from another company, or from NXT, and. Mm-hmm. And that's tremendous. Really shows the strength of the women's roster plus Jordynne Grace being added in.
Yeah.
And of course, my favorite moment. I'm pretty sure Daniel's favorite moment. The face to face with Bianca and Jade, with the WrestleMania sign in the background, which Daniel did take a photo and post on social media. So
yeah, he did.
And I love the fact that they just did the face to face. There was no physicality, which to me shows that this is going to be they're looking at this as like a gem of a match moving forward. Mm-hmm. Other than that, this Women's Royal Rumble to me was the highlight of the night. Kicked off the show, and it was the best part of the show when you look at everything else that came after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Lou,
Lou, you can go.
All right. Yeah, Women's Rumble was definitely, I felt, way more exciting. Even more surprising seeing Naomi come out so early, and her being and lasting as long as she did, I think was definitely like a kudos to her and just like the work she's been doing. Definitely great seeing Jordynne Grace in there. She looked like a superstar. I've seen her work. Tiffany Stratton, I think, was a great highlight.
Oh, yeah.
Because even just her spot, you know, doing that moonsault,
mm-hmm.
I think also shows to, like, her athleticism and how good she is in the ring. And like Brian said, like, it's crazy to think that literally those first couple of Rumbles with the women, you know, you had all these legends come in like crazy. Molly Holly, Lita, Trish, whoever. Mm-hmm. And now it's literally all the women from Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, you know. And one person that I'm still scratching my head why they aren't just not utilizing her whatsoever. And I mean, I guess she's also not the greatest, but also Nikki Cross. I'm like, where the hell do you use her out of all time,
Daniel Nikki Cross
use her. could be the man kind of woman. She literally keeps popping up in all these like random backstage. Like she'll be walking by, or she'll be looking around, or she'll just be sticking her head out somewhere. And I'm like, what? Why not just bring her out during the Rumble?
She's like the Michael Myers, bro.
That's how she should be. You would think this would be Halloween, like pop out or something, you know, like
come under the ring or something. Be weird.
Anything. Like. But you know, I'm glad I changed my pick in Bayley. You know, I think I just thinking of like her and you know, obviously, you know, we've had a Charlotte win, we've had a Becky win. Has Sasha won the Rumble?
No.
No.
No,
she has not.
Well, you know,
so she's one of the four horsewomen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I think it was definitely right for Bayley to finally get her to get the spot, which I thought was great. And it's crazy to think that as the character she is right now, which you know, hopefully we're gonna get that babyface turn, but you know, was just great, and also just a testament to her work and you know her character progression from. You know, all the stuff she did in NXT as a hugger and everything, you know, to becoming a heel and changing. It's just like, you know, I think it was definitely a great pick. Definitely seeing Jade was great. I think they did her right. You know, again, luckily I changed my pick because she would have taken out, she took out my pick pretty quick and with ease. So, which. I don't know. I felt like Nia should have had like that kind of Kane spot where she was eliminating more people.
She eliminated eight people. So
eight? Oh, okay.
She had a pretty good showing.
I don't remember. I didn't keep tally of how many eliminations she got, but that's still good though. I would have liked her to seen her more in like the final four. The fact that again that we've already been able to like to a dead horse, but Liv Morgan.
Jesus. How does she keep doing this?
You know, at first when I heard the music, I thought it was actually Alexa Bliss for a second.
Oh, yeah, me too.
She's back, which honestly I felt would have been
her problem.
A much better return, but you know, she's a mom now, so who knows when she's coming back.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, if you would have given me a Trish or a Lita in that 30 spot, honestly, probably would have been better. But Liv freaking Morgan, like, why?
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 You guys are killing New Jersey's finest. You guys are.
Listen, I like the Liv Morgan spot. It's not that bad. She's horrible.
Yes, it is.
How's it not that bad, but you just said she's horrible?
No, I said she's a horrible wrestler.
Oh, okay.
But like her personality is okay. So, you know, the charisma, let her get her moment, man. That's it. She had a number 30 spot.
The problem in the Rumble was that it should have switched.
Yes.
It should have been Jade at 30 and Liv
at
38. Should have been
no. Jade was perfectly fine where she was at.
Should have been
Liv. Should have been more down the line. It should have been Nia Jax.
You don't think Jade could have had the same impact and did the exact same spots that she did at the 30 spot as compared to 28?
You know why? Because they need her. They needed people to see her a little bit longer. They're trying to protect her. I get that, but. They need to see her more because we haven't seen her. Literally, Daniel was giving me hell. He was telling me, yo, she's going to win the Rumble. Even before she had her first match, and I was like, come on, man.
Hold on. I'm just going to say this. At number 28, when she came in the ring and slammed Nia Jax.
No, that was dope.
And threw her over the top rope. You're telling me that she couldn't have won the Royal
Rumble? She botched a couple moves, but you didn't see that. She botched a couple moves.
She eliminated Naomi and Becky Lynch. What else did she need to do?
She botched
a normal match.
Yes, thank you. A normal match. One on one. That's it.
Match? I'm telling you.
That's all we needed. Even if she had a squash match. Like it would have been perfect.
I'm just saying. Again, I've been picking Bailey for the past 2 months and changed my pick.
And then you changed your pick all of a sudden.
Dan's just trying to strap the biggest rocket to Jade and wants her to
be super
main event mania. Wants to give her the world,
bro. He thinks she is Roman 2.0, and in obviously women's clothing.
And when we were talking about impact in moments in the Rumble, that's probably the biggest impact of the weekend.
That's no, it's not. Stop it.
Was the biggest impact in the Royal Rumble.
Baylor no, the biggest impact was actually Cody Rhodes winning times in a row.
Obviously, because yeah, but we some of us knew that was going to be a given. Yeah. But
oh my god!
In terms of impact and star power and making the Rumble like awesome, even more awesome because the Women's Rumble has been better, but. Her impact slamming Nia Jax, her entrance, her coming out, that was dope. That was fire.
I actually think Naomi's entrance, Naomi there, had more impact.
That's a homecoming.
That was more an impact. Like, we felt that more than – I know Jade Cargill, yes, but we wanted to just see her. Like, we didn't want to – You know, hey, we didn't know what she was capable of.
When she came out, everybody noticed. Everybody was hyped. When she
came out, we were all hyped.
We were like, and then she came out and slammed Nia. She flexed and slammed Nia Jax.
She botched it, but she did good.
How much does
Nia weigh? And I mean that respectively.
A car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that she got her up on her shoulders is impressive enough for me, because I can honestly tell, put that much weight up on your shoulders is already impressive enough. So the fact that she got
her up, like a 2-something, it's not that heavy.
270, according to Wikipedia. But in general, just lifting her up and slamming her when nobody else can slam her, nobody else can do anything with her. We saw everybody was trying to take her down. And then Jade Cargill comes out, but just looking back at Bayley's run in the Rumble, having seven eliminations, it kind of just kind of wanting her to win. We've been talking about it all year, especially leading up to the Rumble. A lot of us just sitting there saying the work that she's put in over the past year with Damage Control, getting Io Sky over, getting Bianca over in those matches, that trilogy of matches, and basically just being the workhorse around the women's division, like just being respectable in that sense, and especially all those years when she wasn't at WrestleMania, when she was just doing the ding dong hello, not having that opportunity, being able to play different roles for the company, and to finally see it accumulate and see her have that moment. And when the Royal Rumble was dope. Like, I was happy for Bayley. Definitely happy for Bayley.
And we got to give a shout out to Triple H for doing all this. Because it wasn't Vince's idea to do any of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We are forgetting one very big highlight from the Women's Rumble. And that is R-Truth.
Oh, my God. I forgot. R-Truth. No, you know, he was the highlight for the women's and the men's. Hands down. Oh, man. Hands down.
I'm trying to think which one was funnier. The Women's Royal Rumble or the Men's Royal
no,
Rumble?
No, the men's. 100%. When he came in and he literally said, tag me in, I was like, oh, my God.
And Dom actually tagged him, too, which made it even funnier.
Yo, it was the best.
Gave him a hot tag.
and then Damian Priest ruined it, man. He had to throw him out.
He needs R-Truth. A title run before he retires, man.
He has to have at least a U.S. title run.
R-Truth is hilarious. And
the best.
Him coming out during the Women's Royal Rumble and saying, you got all these women in here. And
where the fellas at?
Where the fellas at?
Those are all men.
And then he came out the Men's Rumble and thinking it's a tag match. Last year he had the ladder, right? Like he came out with the ladder and climbed it, and there was no money in the bank briefcase. Like, like he is just gold.
Yeah,
gold.
Absolute gold, man. Like R-Truth, man.
Speaking of where they're gonna go, I know this is for Raw, that what happened on Raw. It's just a little R-Truth and The Miz, I think they're going to take the tag titles from Judgment Day.
They should.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that. You know, that's probably gonna be the match at Elimination
Mania.
Mania. They can't do that.
That's if Damian Priest doesn't cash in. The guy has the freaking. I think he's got to be the longest with the Money in the Bank briefcase, right?
I feel like there's somebody's house. No, somebody had it like, almost to the end.
Longer. Right? We're about to be at Money in the Bank is like a couple months away already.
But I feel like there's somebody who waited till like the very end. I feel, but I don't.
Know. No, I don't think. Oh. Who would? Damian Sandow.
He did have it for a while.
I mean, he had it for a little bit. I'm trying to think. Who else? Yeah, there've been a couple of guys that like held the briefcase longer than they should have.
Did Dolph hold it for a while?
No, Dolph Holt. Oh yeah.
Dolph the night
after he held it the night after WrestleMania. He cashed it.
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, so I think
it was Alberto.
Alberto Del Rio. Yeah.
I'm trying to see.
But still, I think you need Damian Priest to cash it now.
Wait, so did Seth hold it for a while? Because Seth cashed in at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Oh, he did.
Which is what I'm predicting they're gonna do with Priest. Priest is gonna pull a Seth Rollins on Seth Rollins and cash in at WrestleMania after the main event.
That's what I hope not. That.
I would not be against that.
I wouldn't like it.
My thing about Damian Priest is he's got to figure out who he's going to cash it in. And he's most likely going to cash in on a babyface, so that's most likely Seth Rollins. We don't see him really doing it to a heel. Like, that's tough.
Because you never know. And I was telling you about that.
Yeah.
The heel versus heel. That would be good to see.
I mean, eventually, but I feel like a cash in on Drew McIntyre also adds to their story as well. Because the back and forth that they've been having and Drew's kind of blaming him. So that's a way that they can go as well. So,
but you can have, this is what I was thinking. This is what I was going to try to tell you before. Mm-hmm. You can have a Drew versus Gunther, right? Now, let's say if Seth is hurt and he legitimately can't go, you can have a Drew versus Gunther at Mania. It's heel versus heel right there. Have Drew win it. And then Damian Priest comes in and cashes it in. On Drew McIntyre,
the IC title?
No. I'm talking about the heavyweight title.
Oh,
so you saying
that's if Seth can't make it?
As I said, they should have took the belt off Seth.
Yes, 100%.
And they should just have Sami Zayn versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania.
No, I say Gunther versus Drew.
Give Sami
heel versus heel.
Give Sami that. Give Sami that moment that we've all been waiting for Sami Zayn since his work with the Bloodline. And then finally, the rug right underneath him and have Damian Priest cash
it. No, but you know what it is? This is another reason why I said that the heel versus heel would work. It's in Philadelphia. Everybody in Philly loves a heel. And they always cheer the heel.
Yeah, but I mean, in that case, no one's going to boo Sami.
Yeah. No, nobody's going to boo Sami, but nobody's going to boo Drew either.
I mean, if Sami Zayn's across from him, they're going to boo
him. If
Sami's across from him, I think they're gonna side with Sami. I don't think even Philly could be.
No, Philly's brutal.
Yeah, they can. They booed Sami.
Yes. They booed Roman Reigns, remember?
Hey, that was
bad. They booed booking. The hell out of him.
That was bad booking. But look,
that was beautiful. I loved it. Every minute of it.
Sami has grinded through the indies.
The Rock couldn't save him. That's how bad it was.
That is how bad it was.
Sami has been loved for a long time. That Bloodline story had the wrestling world in its hand for, 6 months?
Oh, that was great.
They're not booing him, man. I don't think they're booing him. I don't see it.
You can have – I would have rather have a Drew versus Gunther.
I mean, they've done that already.
Seth can't make it.
They've done that at SummerSlam. SummerSlam?
That's what I said. I'm like,
they had an IC title match at SummerSlam. And honestly, it kind of disappointed because you expect, because the expectations for it were a lot higher because you saw Gunther with Sheamus and you saw what banger they had that Clash at the Castle. So you thought Drew and Gunther was going to be better than that. And it kind of wasn't. Yeah. So from that standpoint, that's the only reason why I wouldn't want to go Drew and Gunther, because the expectations for it are always going to be set kind of high because of the caliber of the
match.
So yeah,
Sheamus and Gunther, that first international matchup, but definitely going to be interesting to see what they do there heading forward. But we can move on into our CM Punk injury. Happened at the Royal Rumble, apparently on the Drew McIntyre Future Shock DDT. He put his hand down. He tore his triceps.
He prayed for it to happen.
Not Drew's fault. He got to control his arms.
And CM Punk is looking like he's going to be missing WrestleMania with a torn tricep. It's been confirmed that he's going to miss WrestleMania.
Yeah, he will.
The return that he's come back, the impact
46 months
that he's had on social media, and they played it up. He came out and obviously voiced his disappointment in not being able to be at WrestleMania, but in terms of flipping that story into Drew McIntyre's fire, right? And Drew McIntyre coming out and saying that he's happy that he's put Punk on the shelf. But what are your guys' reactions to CM Punk's injury and how long he's going to be out?
Go ahead, John. Go.
He killed it.
Yeah, we just give John his moment right now. All
right. Okay, so I hate Drew, first of all. Second of all, the fact that CM Punk tore his tricep, like, it was just a freak accident. And I know Drew didn't mean it, obviously. It just happened. It happened with Cody Rhodes last year. I mean, 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when he tore his pec. It sucks, bro. I wanted to see Punk versus Seth Rollins. We got so kind of sucked that sense. But that said, McIntyre with his heel turn is amazing. His promos are on the spot.
They get better and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they do.
100%. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He's amazing. The thing about with the CM injury is that you have waiting turn. I waited 10 years for him to come back. And now I gotta wait another fucking year, man.
it's 4 to 6 months, man. It'd be all right. He'll be back by the summer. The summer of Punk will shine again at some point, right? Like,
I'm praying. Back, man.
Right.
SummerSlam, please.
Yeah, we're hoping for SummerSlam. But it is devastating news. I mean, you never hate this. You hate to see a top talent go down. I mean, we wish him a speedy.
Not Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I wish no ill will on CM Punk. Let's just make that clear. Right, I don't want him to get hurt. I just didn't want him to win the Rumble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, you never want to see a top talent go down. You know, like I said, we wish him a speedy recovery. Wish him to come back as soon as possible. Question: Was that the tricep he tore? Was that the same tricep that he tore in AEW? Was it the same one?
No, it was a separate tricep.
Oh,
it was. I think he tore his left tricep in AEW, and he tore his right one.
Oh, okay. So damn.
He's not too much, man. He's trying to bulk up too much, man.
Yeah, and
I don't know. He could be doing other things with that. He tore his tricep.
Like I said in the chat. It's almost like him being straight edge at an older age is kind of starting to impact him now. Because like you said, the whole straight edge lifestyle, you know, no alcohol, no drugs, no supplements, none of that stuff.
Listen, I've seen more crackheads live longer than healthy people, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's true.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm just like, yo, this lifestyle. Now he's getting old. Now his body's wearing down.
But not doing drugs makes him not healthy now.
Yeah, it sucks.
Like, now he's getting hurt. Yeah, but you know, it is gonna be a huge blow to people who wanted to see that match at WrestleMania. You know, John, let me just tell you this, John. Because like we said, like I said before, that I was one of the people that initially thought CM Punk wasn't coming back to WWE. I kind of was, you know, thinking, you know, too much time had passed. I didn't really believe in the old Daniel's proclamation that, like, if the money is there, you know, he'll take it. I just felt like, you know, WWE, they had been doing good. They had been doing good business without CM Punk. They had been breaking records without CM Punk, so they didn't necessarily need him. Obviously, it's always great to have a top talent on your roster, so I thought that they didn't need him. So now that he's down, I mean, I think WWE will be fine. They'll carry on. I mean, we'll definitely miss him, but I do think that this is an opportunity now to have a great story. I'm thinking now, and I know a lot of people don't want to see it again, but this is where Drew McIntyre steps up, and I think he should get the spot against Seth at WrestleMania.
100%.
The only way that, and to me, the only way that you can make it work, because they already had this title match twice before. To me, for it to work, I think they need to incorporate Drew's contract situation into the storyline, and pretty much have the stipulation staying that if Drew wins, he wins the title and he resigns. If he loses, he leaves the company. And then with all that speculation, because nobody knows
what
nobody
is this, knows. Raw versus SmackDown 2007.
You don't know what the situation is with his contract, though. You got the report saying that he hasn't signed a new deal yet. Got the other report saying that he's not going to sign the new deal. So with all that speculation, you might as well throw it into a storyline for WrestleMania. Now that you don't have
a little too close to CM Punk's story, though.
No, but you got to remember, it's just like what happened right now. It's perfect. It's leading up for Drew versus CM Punk SummerSlam or anything beyond SummerSlam. He can cost Drew the title if Drew wins the title in WrestleMania.
Lewis, before you go, my whole thing was have Drew win the title at WrestleMania, have him have that moment that he didn't have because of COVID.
Yeah.
But then you have Priest come out and cash in on Drew. That's
that's the way you go about it. Thank you. You're just going to break this man at every turn, aren't you?
Win the title, get your moment, get the moment that you didn't get 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and now business.
I'm sorry, Lewis, but they should hot potato this title. And just like give it to one person to another. And it's not like the WWE title is going to be, you know, on one person for like 6 months. And then somebody else will get it. But they should hot potato this title. Priest cashes in, grabs it. And 2 months later, somebody beats him. And then CM Punk comes in and he wins it. That's it.
You keep trying to have CM Punk win this title. And
he's going to win the title, man. That's it. I predicted it.
I don't know, man. So
Escaldamas.
With this, I think Punk's time is coming. I think two.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Just look in a span of what? 2 years? How many injuries has this man had?
Two.
No, both triceps and then the foot, remember?
The foot wasn't serious.
He's WWE's now Daniel Bryan. That's what he's going
to
be.
I think it's a little worse.
No, but you got to remember, the same thing happened to Edge, and then the same thing happened to Cody. So.
They can't keep having these old investments, man.
Listen, when Edge had the I think he had the injury versus Daniel Bryan, right?
He
hurt himself.
Which injury? You talking about Edge?
Not the neck injury. Came back after the Royal Rumble, injured. Then everybody said, oh, he's old. He needs to set it up, up. That's it. Now he has like a whole damn Hall of Fame career in AEW.
I think I know what Edge injury you're talking about. I think you're talking about when he got a tricep injury against.
Yes,
that was against Daniel Bryan. That was against Randy Orton in that.
Randy Orton,
that
yes.
Greatest match ever bullshit that they
did. Yes, garbage ass match.
Greatest match ever. Whatever the crap that was at Backlash. Yeah, he tore his tricep in that match. But that was a good match. Wasn't the greatest match ever though.
No, but like I said, he came back. Everybody wrote him off. Everybody said he's too old. You know, he's not, he shouldn't wrestle anymore. And he came back and he wrestled what? Judgment Day. He did the whole Judgment Day thing. He was fine afterwards. I think CM Punk will be fine.
Year.
But he'll be fine. He'll be fine. You're taking it too much, Lewis. Don't worry. He's not going away.
My thing is just like it was the anticipation with him returning to AEW. He gets hurt.
No, AEW is an injury factory.
Still, but I remember him trying to do the freaking the lariat, and it's just like, what do you? Why? Why are we doing this thing to ourselves? It's just like
he was not in shape in AEW.
Yeah, I'm like, you're trying to do things that, first of all, you were not doing that move when you were even in your WWE run. I don't know why he's in AEW.
Yeah, he was doing it.
He was not doing no buckshot.
He did it once.
I don't know. It's just disheartening. Like, boom again. Look, not his first match, but like his big debut, boom, Rumble, another injury. It's like, how can we keep investing if every time it's like, look, what if next time? Okay, boom, he wins the title. We got a Finn situation. Oh, I got to give it up. I tore this or broke this. It's just like.
Well, they didn't want to give Edge the title.
I mean.
They never even tried to give Edge the title. Yeah,
they didn't after those injuries, but my thing.
Well, actually, they did. Remember, Edge had a match against Roman.
He lost,
and Daniel Bryan,
in terms of CM Punk's injury, he's going to be back by at least hopefully July, August. He's going
to
be
They're saying 4 to 6 months. That's what it usually takes to rehab the injury.
He's going to be back in time. Like, this is not going to be a substantial injury, but I do understand what Lewis is saying, where it's like we waited, as you said, John, as well. You like, we waited 10 years for him to come back. He comes back. Something crazy happens with a freak injury. Like, that's a regular Future Shock DDT that people have taken mad times. And he just landed awkwardly, which really sucks. And it's like, damn. But
it was a freak injury.
It was. But, I mean, those freak injuries do add up. That's the thing. Like,
but if he gets in shape, and like any athlete, I mean, we already see, you know, like
he wasn't shape.
No, he was, but like I said, it was a freak accident. It happens, bro. You can walk and rip your quads.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it happens.
But I mean, that's not what's supposed to happen in professional wrestling.
I mean, you don't know what if he pulls a Cena and comes back in 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not Super Cena. super punk.
Yeah. I have more faith in John Cena's healing ability.
Nah, but you know, I John Cena's healing ability. He takes the LeBron cheat code.
hey, those guys are still going. I'm just saying.
John Cena just injects himself with money, and that's how he recovers.
That's all. That's exactly how he recovers.
It's cash boost. Is that it? But in general, I mean, the CM Punk injury unfortunately happened. Seth Rollins' injury unfortunately happens. Mm-hmm. But it does open the door for other guys like Gunther, Drew, Sammy. These other guys are on top notch. Damian Priest. This injury does. It opens the door for Priest. If whatever they're doing with that briefcase, hopefully it's more in play ever than it's now before, right? Like, because we've had times where it's like he can't cash in now. He can't cash in here. We've had that problem with the briefcase, Austin Theory comes to mind, of trying to figure out when to cash it in. Now with all these injuries, it's like this is probably the most important time of Damian Priest with the briefcase, because it's like this is a point where he can cash it in. And I think that's a point where we can put a rocket ship to Damian Priest that they've been trying to do, trying to figure out how to do. And maybe that's a way that he breaks away from the Judgment Day or – whatever the case, this briefcase, now we can see what happens with it. So hopefully that.
I see him breaking away from Judgment Day.
As I said, he's got to team up with Bad Bunny, man. SummerSlam's coming.
Leave Bad Bunny alone. Yo, when that feud
leave Bad Bunny alone. Man. That is important right now. Leave him alone.
Bad Bunny is on the way. It is January 31st at the time of this recording. Bad Bunny is on the way, I promise you.
Aren't they going to have another pay-per-view in Puerto Rico?
They should.
That pay-per-view was awesome.
It was. But let me see.
It was awesome.
Let me see. Let me just do a little Google here.
Bad Bunny. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will. That was like the highest rated
I've ever seen.
That was just an amazing show.
Yeah, I was just saying how Bad Bunny's entrance alone was probably one of the best entrances. With the crowd, yeah.
Nuts.
Bro, they were singing. Everybody was singing that. I was singing to that song.
I'm like, he's that guy in Puerto Rico, but I didn't know it was like that. Like the whole arena.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's Puerto Rico.
Nah, he's the Larry Bird of Puerto Rico.
I'm just gonna say this Bad Bunny's tour in 2024 ends in May.
Oh yeah, perfect. SummerSlam.
He's back, man.
So you think he's gonna break away from Judgment Day, and then I mean Priest's gonna break away from Judgment Day, and then
Judgment Day, either both the tag titles and the briefcase, and then they're gonna kick him out because he's been having all this friction with Rhea Ripley, Finn, Dominic. They don't trust him. The whole R-Truth situation they didn't like. They're gonna eventually break off from him, kick him out, and Bad Bunny comes back to even the odds, man.
No, I'm not gonna lie. Even though you keep saying the whole Bad Bunny thing, that would be a huge pop if Damian Priest goes face, and then you get Bad Bunny next to him.
The story writes itself.
I would agree.
I wouldn't be against it though.
I'm not gonna be against it.
Oh, they haven't. I think they said I've been seeing rumors that SummerSlam is gonna be in Cleveland. Put it in Puerto Rico.
You put it in Puerto Rico, man. Cleveland. Who the hell wants to go to Cleveland?
Season, hopefully not.
Tell me, Cleveland.
Ohio.
Cleveland. Come on.
SummerSlam in Cleveland. That is like the equivalent of saying the Super Bowl is in Mexico. Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't do it.
I'm gonna channel my inner Joakim Noah by making this comment.
Here we go.
You guys, I mean, y'all honestly think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say that they wanted to go to Cleveland on vacation.
LeBron did.
Hey, LeBron does.
LeBron goes back. He grew up in Akron, all right?
Yeah, I don't even want to drive by Cleveland. I want to drive around Cleveland.
And I'm assuming because it's a stadium show, it's going to be at where the Browns play.
That's even worse. that stadium is cursed.
Of all places, man. Cleveland.
Detroit made sense.
Yeah, because Detroit still has some prestige as a city, especially
or
the Lions. The Lions had the season that they had, but
have SummerSlam in Chicago.
Oh no!
And then you got this man coming up.
Wishful thinking.
Where at Soldier Field?
Soldier Field. Another bad stadium.
Yeah, bro.
Damn, you're right.
They've been doing these shows at the stadiums now, so I'm assuming.
Well, you gotta remember, SummerSlam. We had SummerSlam here in Barclays.
Mm-hmm. That was during that stretch.
Yeah, that stretch when they had every SummerSlam at
was in Barclays. Yeah, and I went to every single one.
I
wish I would have gone to all those takeovers.
I was just about to ask, did you go to the NXT takeover?
Oh, yeah, I went to the NXT takeover when me and my wife, we went to the one when Shinsuke debuted it and Bobby Roode. Bro, when I say the Shinsuke debut was one of the coolest thing I've ever seen, with the guy with the violin came out and just... Wow, that was such a cool thing. And then the Bobby Roode one, he was so over. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it, man. I have a Bobby Roode shirt. And we were all singing. That was awesome.
He man had the best intro, man.
Very
glorious.
Bobby Roode, man. Very unfortunate what happened to him,
man. Yeah, I know.
Is it just that they won't clear him? Or they're just like,
I just think the neck injury. Yeah, I think the neck injury is just bad enough where it's just like they don't want to risk it, so they just made him a backstage person.
It's like a Big E right now.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Bobby Roode, man, finally got to the big time
and then screwed up.
Got her after grinding so many years. so many years in TNA with Bear Money Inc. Like that was dope in TNA. Like,
and you would. And you would think with Triple H in charge right now, he would be the one to benefit the most.
Oh my God, Bobby Roode would have been through the roof right now.
So many people, man. But
bro, his entrance alone is amazing.
Yeah, his debut, that debut entrance.
Oh my God, it was awesome. What I'm telling you, I have the video. I'm gonna send it to Daniel. The video. I recorded the video.
Yeah, I don't care. That was one of the best debut entrances I've ever seen. I don't care.
What amazing.
Did he beat Drew McIntyre or was that Andrade?
Andrade.
Andrade.
Yeah, when they tried to make Andrade a babyface. Yeah, that didn't
work. Yeah. It was, you weren't making him a babyface against Bobby.
Him in those white pants.
Yeah.
Yo.
The straps.
That was horrible.
Oh man. But he's gonna
Shinsuke and Bobby Roode's entrance were the best.
Great times in NXT, right?
Yeah. And then I remember now we got it's almost official. Okada.
Uh-oh. He's on the
way. I read something today too about that.
I'm pretty sure they should get that done. Hopefully they get that done.
Me personally, I just think he's gonna end up in AEW just because he's familiar with their audience. Unless his whole thing is he wants to work a less strenuous style or a safer style that's similar to what Shinsuke wanted to do. Unless he wants to do that, I just think he's gonna end up in AEW.
He always said that he wants to be and he wants to not main event but be in WrestleMania.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That will be the ticket. Yep. But to move into a different type of news, moving on to Vince McMahon's
very somber news.
Exit from WWE after his latest scandal that has been brewing, and I blame Brian for this as well.
I was just about to say, I think I should go first on this one.
Brian, all you.
I just want to read Vince McMahon's statement. He came out with a statement last
week.
I stand by my prior statement that Mrs. Grant lawsuit is replete with lies, obscene, made up instances that never occurred, and is a vindication distortion of the truth. I intend to vigorously defend myself against these baseless accusations and look forward to clearing my name. However, out of respect for the WWE universe, the extraordinary TKO business and its board members and shareholders, partners and constituents, and all of the employees and superstars that helped me make WWE into the global leader it is today, I have decided to resign from my executive chairmanship and the TKO board of directors effective immediately. So another step down from Vince McMahon with the latest scandal. I forgot the lady's name from Miss Grant. I'm going to go by right now with her latest accusations of crazy accusations of against Vince McMahon and his long, strenuous NDAs and hush money and basically trying to keep things under wrap. But what do you guys think about the latest on Vince McMahon?
All right. We mentioned off camera. So during our WrestleMania 39 reaction show, we were all reacting to night two of WrestleMania and the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, which was one of the worst Monday Night Raws after WrestleMania in a while. During that show, I kind of went the extra mile, tried to much. Begged and pleaded for more women to come out and tell and pretty much just tell their stories in regards to Vince McMahon. And my thinking at the time was I just wanted to get Vince McMahon away from creative, because like I said, we had that Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, which was compared to other Raws after WrestleMania, was very, very, very lackluster. And you saw all the reports about Vince being back in charge again. And then I made the comment, but the comment was only supposed to be made to get him away from creative. I felt that any other aspect of WWE's business that he was involved in was perfectly fine, because we know Vince McMahon. He's aggressive, but he is a a great promoter and a great businessman. I mean, look at the track record. Look at where WWE was when he took over the territory from his dad, all the way to where it is now. But when you look at this lawsuit and you see words like, you know, trafficking and, you know, sexual assault, and then you look at some of these alleged text messages that came from Vince McMahon, some of the crap that came out, and you're just hoping and praying that those messages weren't sent from him, because if they were, I mean, those are the messages from a horrible human being, and if that was, you know, his intent to be such a what do you mean? You must not have read those messages clearly. We're men. If we get our women on these podcasts right now and we tell them to react to these messages, I guarantee you.
I think what Dan is also referring to is, like, it's crazy to think when you look at the character of Vince McMahon and some of the, like, you know, we all know it's entertaining, but it's just like, the heinous things this man would do on screen.
Art imitating.
You know, there's things, you know, you're seeing, you're like, yo, these videos are not aging well. Like, you know, I saw one with Stephanie saying, oh, you made me do things with
everywhere,
man, and when I was 17. And then, you know, all the stuff with, like, Trish and the stuff with his wife. And then, this man was basically having
a midlife crisis on national TV every week for 30 years, and everyone knew it. all that stuff that has been alleged in the past and stuff like that, it's kind of just like everybody wants to kind of walk on eggshells because it is definitely a sensitive situation, but it's like those text messages
shine a light on something we kind of probably knew was the mind
of Vince McMahon, like, even more, like, it shows of, and it is kind of just kind of like a caveman mentality, right? Like, maybe that stuff was, it's never been acceptable, but maybe that stuff was kind of done by everybody back in the day. Now we're in a different stage where everything is coming out, especially with women's rights, all these allegations and the sensitivity around that, and everybody has a story to tell, and everybody has their place and should be respected. But it's like, Vince is too old to be doing this stuff. This stuff didn't just happen like 5-10 years ago. This stuff was recent. Yeah, this is recent stuff.
But you know what's crazy? The crazy thing about it is that 2 years ago, two summers ago in 2022, when that first Wall Street article broke, and pretty much accused Vince of using WWE money as hush money to pay off some of these women. What ended up happening? Vince retired, stepped away again, and that's when Triple H got control of the creative. And then that's when he started pushing this whole concept of a sale and said, we gotta get this sale going for WWE. I'm almost starting to wonder now if at that time he pushed for the sale so much because he knew a whole bunch of other shit was gonna come out soon. And he wanted to keep WWE away from it. So that's why he was pushing so hard for the sale to happen. And on top of that, because he got after the sale happened, he still was named the executive chairman.
Yeah, he was chairman of.
So he probably thought, I'm still chairman. So therefore, maybe I'm safe. But then here comes that lawsuit. And I just want to say, because we also talked about it on Saturday, the ramifications of the lawsuit, how Slim Jim on Friday night pulled out as a sponsor. And then by Saturday, we're seeing a Slim Jim commercial before LA Knight's entrance. And
less than 48 hours.
Literally, Slim Jim was all over pretty much that WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship match. They were all over it. So it made us think. We were talking about it then. Like, damn, like, bro, literally 24 hours ago, this wasn't gonna happen. So how was this match supposed to look? And from that standpoint, you know, losing sponsors and everything, I'm pretty sure because I've done research on Ari Emanuel who's running TKO right now. Yeah. But he's just an aggressive businessman as Vince McMahon is. So if there's anything that's jeopardizing his money, he's gonna cut it out like a cancer every single time.
100%.
So I'm pretty sure that he pretty much said that two years ago happened. We took over now, but clearly, you can't be a part of this anymore. Granted, it's your company, your family built it, but we're in new territory right now, so we can't have you around. And decision was made, it was pretty much the end of an era. But we knew eventually it was coming. I mean, we talk about skeletons being in people's closets. I mean, the skeletons always eventually come out some way somehow. No matter how old you are, no matter how far ago it happened, it always comes to the surface somehow. And now you hear this coming. The only thing I'm thinking about is his family. How's this going to impact Shane, Stephanie, their kids, Linda McMahon. You can only think about how they're dealing with it. How they're dealing with it right now. And now you're seeing reports that, because this happened, anybody that works in WWE that's somehow associated with Vince may be on the clock now. First person I think of off top of my mind is Bruce Pritchard.
Pritchard's gone.
He's gonna be done soon.
100%.
Which honestly, from a personal standpoint, I hope that is the case. That way,
because he sucks.
That way, when his podcast, we can get some more stories about what was going on behind the scenes over there.
He's gonna be in a gag order. He's not gonna be allowed to say anything.
Yeah, he's not gonna be saying anything.
He's already signed 10 NDAs.
Or he can at least something, but. I think he knows. I think he knows. He knows his days are number two, and anybody else that was there. So
yeah, we're so all forgetting John Laurinaitis too.
Oh, John Laurinaitis is fucked. He ain't working for no wrestling promotion. No, fuck that guy. No, we're good. We don't want John Laurinaitis.
He's married to
Naomi and Sasha Banks walked out. So I'm good on John Laurinaitis. Fuck that. Yeah,
he's married to the Bella Twins' mother.
Yeah.
So it affects them too.
They're not even
good standing with WWE, let alone him. But
yeah.
In general, I just look at just the fallout of all this. Every report that comes out now is going to be questioned to Triple H, WWE. We saw in the press conference.
That was bad. He handled it bad.
Asking about the allegations, and he kind of just swept it underneath the rug. And some people didn't like that. Cody Rhodes addressed it.
Perfect. He did a good job.
And just looking at it from that standpoint, it's like every single time something happens now, or any report or anything that comes out, a news update, case proceedings, if there's a WWE event, it's going to be axed. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if people are just going to start walking up on wrestlers like TMZ and just start asking questions like, hey, do you know anything? And get pressured. And of course, they're going to give the political correct media answer, right? Like they're going to try to stay far away from that as ever. Well, I think even Nia Jax was asked about it, and I can't remember what she said.
Yeah, she was.
She was asked about it as well, and it's just like that. There's a trickle effect from this now. Like, this isn't going to go away as WWE is going to try to do that, put on better shows and stuff like that. But I think that this is going to linger on for a little bit.
No, this is going to linger on for the rest of the year. And I honestly think, and the crazy thing about it is, this isn't, not only is it not over, but like I said, there could be like way more women now that are going to be comfortable coming out now that she filed that civil lawsuit. Because how it is. So as one is brave enough to do it, then the floodgates open and everybody has a story. And I mean, that's always how it is. So this is going to be a dark cloud hanging over them for a while, and they'll be okay. Yeah. I mean, they'll still break their records. They'll still make their money. They still got the Netflix deal. They'll still have their success, but it'll always be like that asterisk because of Vince and the situation.
It's true. James Dolan's next.
The New York Knicks owner.
It's just crazy with all this, just because it's like the more stuff comes out, it was just like look at how there was so much hype and everything for the Rumble. You got the Netflix deal, you got all this good press, and then boom,
in a week.
In a week.
Monkey wrench and everything. And then you got other people. You got Brock involved. Brock's getting pulled. You got sponsors pulling out. It's like.
And from the text messages that were kind of alluding to Brock, I'm kind of like, he didn't do anything.
he really didn't do anything. But like reading those messages, they're distancing themselves
with it, so it's
from Vince.
Way it's bad.
And like
they're saying, it's like they're like, all right, well, who else is a former world heavyweight UFC champion? It's like,
I mean, the UFC thing
kind of Ronda Rousey.
UFC kind of gives it away, but as far as
if that was the case, then fine, give Ronda all that hate.
Ronda Rousey's catching a stray here. Like she didn't do anything.
Like, see, the crazy thing, Daniel, is that there were a lot of people who read those messages and feel the same way that you feel. That like, what exactly did Brock do? He shouldn't have gotten pulled for the Rumble. And my response is like, well, did you guys see the presser after when they were asking Triple H those questions?
Now imagine
if Brock was in the Rumble.
Yeah. Triple H wouldn't have showed up for that one.
He would have canceled the press conference.
He probably wouldn't even had the press conference.
He would have had Byron Saxton out there reading the numbers. Don't forget. We called him Barney on Saturday. It's purple suit after the press conference. But nah, man, it's just crazy. It's just crazy to see that like now we can officially be like, all right, this is too much of something for Vince to overcome. This is a man who beat the United States government in steroid scandals and you know, has had beaten TV executives and all this other stuff. WCW has been on top for 30 years, and it looks like this is finally the nail in his wrestling endeavors, right? Like it's crazy.
So question to handle the situation, do you think Vince McMahon is going to be Chris Benoit? Like he's gonna be.
Yeah, he's already been Chris Benoit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They
took him everywhere. You go to WWE merchandising. There's nothing from Vince. I heard there's something about.
Like it pulls up a different page when you try to look for him.
Yeah, and Peacock. Peacock, they're trying to. I think they're pretty much going to do the same thing like what they did with Chris Benoit and just take away his stuff.
That puts them in a different thing because that's basically the attitude era. Is it going to go that far where we take Vince segments out? Like Vince has been on TV since 1997.
I know. He's a commentator.
Yeah, commentator, wrestler, performer, the Austin era. Like every single
thing. It'll be tough.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how they're going to handle that because it's like that's part of your history. Like, Chris Benoit, still, you can still find it. Like, they didn't remove his matches, but it's just like,
no, they didn't remove his matches.
Like, this is something that, like, they probably want to just, like, did for a little while. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get as far away from Vince mentions or anything McMahon.
Yeah.
As they can.
100%.
As they can. Man. Like, it's crazy to think that Vince McMahon is not in charge and power. He's not like the boogeyman. He's not going to pop back up again. Like, that's it. Like, it's crazy, man.
Oh, no. They micromired his ass. They rotisserie chicken him. They fried him. They flamethrower everything. He ain't coming back.
That's crazy. I mean,
Brian's happy. I know that.
Just think, because I remember the first allegations, he came back on the Monday Night Raw, like made an announcement and walked to the ring.
I was actually on SmackDown that Friday. Yeah, I remember SmackDown. He came out for 30 seconds and pretty much told everybody, remember the signature at the beginning of the show, then, now, forever, together, whatever the signature is at the beginning of these shows. And pretty much said that we're all in this together. And we're all looking at him like,
no, we not.
Who's in this together?
No, we're not.
You did that shit. We got nothing to do with that.
Just thinking about that moment, because it's like kind of like Vince just controlling the situation, right? Like he was in control, like, hey, I'm not going anywhere, whatever. This is going to be brushed off, whatever. Jumping down the steps. Like, this is just like, what, 2 years ago, a year ago?
Yeah.
Man thinks he's untouchable, and now it's showing that he really is.
He's not, and it's just crazy. It's just crazy because Vince has been in all our lives, our whole wrestling fandom, like, Vince was there. So it's like, definitely ushering, and then McMahon, first of all, a McMahon was there. Like, Stephanie, Shane. Like, there was some variation of them, and now there's not. You know, we have Triple H, you know, being the husband and stuff like that of Stephanie, but it's just like, yeah, that's it for Vince, man. That's it for Vince, man. That's crazy. It's crazy to think about it, but this was my thing about it. Like, he's just too old to be doing that shit.
He's too old.
You're just too old, man. Just too old.
But I will say this: as horrendous as the allegations are, I mean, it doesn't take away from his impact on sports and entertainment in general. I mean, when he bought it out from under his dad, he said, "I'm not going to be professional wrestling. I'm going to be sports entertainment." Mm-hmm. And he bought up all the territories, took his show national, and then the WWE became what it is today, and it continues to grow. I mean, and I don't think we can take as heinous as these allegations and everything is, we can't use that to take away from the impact that he's had on sports entertainment entirely. Mm-hmm.
I understand that, but let's put it like this. All right, so Harvey Weinstein, this is a bad example, but it's kind of like that. So all the movies that Harvey Weinstein produced and all that, you know, they're still available, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that tarnishes his legacy. I think this tarnishes everything.
It's definitely a black spot. It's definitely like, you look at, like, it's definitely bad. There's no way around it. It's definitely bad looking at
it. Doesn't this kind of remind you of someone?
The person who opened out the Royal
Rumble? No, Hulk Hogan.
Doesn't this kind of remind you of someone? Isn't
it weird that Vince is
out? Tarnished legacy, but yet we still want to call him a GOAT, right?
He's in the
GOAT. No, he's not a GOAT.
He's in the GOAT bracket.
Lewis, he was taken out in the first round, man. Like, I don't know what else we can do anymore about this whole thing, bro. He was a 14 seed. He was a 14 seed that lost to The Undertaker, rightfully so. So what else can we do?
Not have a minute.
He had to be in it. He is the 80s.
Wow. Nah, we good.
Oh, my goodness. No, that would do it for this episode of Ring Takes here on that note. Thank you guys for joining me as always. We're going to be talking about the GOAT bracket.
Why?
Next week.
Why?
We kind of put it on the back burner.
HBK.
Is correct.
Royal Rumble.
It's not going to win.
Punk's injury, all that stuff there. But it will pick up back next week where we're going to reopen the GOAT bracket. And I'm even thinking of changing my pick
dear God.
Since
picks on something that's already been cemented. We literally have to redo the entire thing.
Since people want to reopen the GOAT bracket, God, even though it was closed.
Oh, I know who he's going to pick. I already know. Get ready for Roman.
He might be the current undisputed champion, but we'll talk.
He's not better than Shawn Michaels. Leave it alone.
I'm telling you right now, if we're doing that, not only am I arguing for Shawn Michaels, now I'm also making the argument for Ric Flair taking out Undertaker and getting to the finals. All
right. I'll do the same thing. I'm with you, Brian.
I'm making the argument for Flair.
Begrudgingly reopening the GOAT bracket next week. Join us next week and check that out. Thank you guys for joining me as always.
What are you guys doing?
Changing the narrative, Lewis.
It has been decided. This is all Brian trying to recruit more people just to get to HBK in that number one spot.
I seem to recall that Daniel said this was the end of the show, so play the graphic, please.
Don't silence me. Don't silence me now. Just because I'm tired, you're not going to silence me now.
Next week, we will tackle it. Next week, we will tackle the GOAT bracket. Undertaker versus HBK and other?
Has been decided.
To be determined.
To be determined.
Was determined. There's video proof it was determined.
It doesn't exist. We Vince McMahoned it.
Internet's forever. You can find it somewhere.
Oh my goodness. It is on the internet, on TikTok and YouTube in our first
censored
episodes. Jesus Christ. All right, guys, I'm wrapping it up.